Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. The week before last, a 27-year-old boxer died from injuries he suffered in the ring. And that young man's death renewed attention to pugilism's costs and recalled ESPN's documentary entitled Hero, about a 25-year-old boxer, Francisco Paco Rodriguez, who died 10 years ago next month. As the short film begins, El Nino Azteca fights for a WBA super bantamweight title at the Blue Horizon in Philadelphia. His first match as a father, Rodriguez assures his bride before leaving Chicago, leaving her and their newborn daughter, saying, "I feel really good. I'm going to come back with a belt." That same night, and just 3 miles away from the Blue Horizon, 22-year-old Ashley Owens is dying from cystic fibrosis. Only expected to live until the age of 12, Ashley has beaten the odds, but on November 13th, her left lung had collapsed, careening her into critical condition. Earlier that evening, doctors explained that without a full double lung transplant, she will not live. Receiving this news, Owens begins to write goodbye letters to her family. "Dear Dad," she writes, "you always told me it is best to remember the good times and to be grateful." Back at the Blue Horizon, the referee stops the fight after 10 rounds when Rodriguez can no longer lift his hands to protect himself. El Nino Azteca staggers back to his corner and keeps a hand on the ropes as he sits on the stool. Acting strangely, he explains to his corner man that he feels sleepy just before his eyes roll back and he collapses to the mat. After being rushed to the hospital, Rodriguez undergoes 3 hours of emergency surgery to remove and relieve pressure from his bleeding brain, but the doctors cannot overcome the damage already done. When his wife, Sonia, arrives to Philadelphia the next morning, physicians explain that Paco has no hope of survival. And in the ESPN film, the camera then cuts to Paco's father, Evaristo, who's seated in their family's home. The senior Rodriguez, his eyes are swollen and wet as he tells the story of that morning, speaking slowly in Spanish. "In that moment, I asked God not to take him, that I would exchange my life for his." Today, we mark the Feast of All Souls, of all faithful departed, a commemoration the Episcopal Church explains began in the 10th century when it became customary to set aside another day as a kind of extension of All Saints, an occasion on which the Church remembered that vast body of the faithful who, though no less members of the redeemed, were unknown in the wider fellowship of the church. On this day, we would also remember our family and our friends who had died. At 7:42 p.m. on November the 22nd, doctors declare Rodriguez brain dead. And 3 hours later, a representative from the Gifts of Life organ donation program approaches Sonia, suggesting that Paco would be very disappointed to see that after all the hard work he had committed to keep his body in the shape that he kept it, that his heart would be allowed to stop beating. The family consents to donate his organs, and that very night, Ashley Owens receives Rodriguez's lungs. Not long after her boyfriend had proposed to her on what both believed was her deathbed. In a later interview, she describes being able to breathe deeply for the very first time. The screen fills with video of the young woman riding a bicycle. Paco's heart goes to 26-year-old Alexis Sloan. Born with a genetic condition, her heart could no longer function on its own, requiring to be connected to a medical device 24 hours a day to pump her blood for her. Before the heart transplant, she lived indoors in a single room, tethered to this machine for more than 2 years. 24-year-old Megan Kingsley receives Rodriguez's liver. Her own liver shut down as a side effect of experimental medication she took for a series of benign brain tumors that were robbing her of muscle development and control, and unchecked, eventually would rob her of her life. In her interview, Kingsley reports that since the transplant, she has been back in the hospital many times. And that every time she gets really sick, she pats her liver and encourages her patron, "Come on, Paco, work with me. Let's get through this." Vicki Davis, a 57-year-old mother of two, receives one of Paco's kidneys and his pancreas after she survived 3 difficult years on a transplant list. In her interview, she asks, "How can you say thank you to someone for a gift like this?" Just to say thank you is not enough. You've got to do more. Four months after Paco's death, his widow asked the Gifts of Life organization for the mailing addresses of these 4 strangers who had received her husband's vital organs. And she wrote each of them, wrote them a letter describing the man that she had married not so many years before. Ashley and Alexis, Megan and Vicki all in turn wrote back to Sonia, expressing a desire that they could meet in person. And 1 year after Rodriguez's death, these 2 organizations collaborated to arrange for the 4 recipients to fly to Chicago, to the hometown of El Nino Azteca. On the Feast of All Souls, we at Trinity Church remember our beloved. And we do so because we believe that we still hold near those who have died who we love. For our assurance as Christians is that nothing, not even death, shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our commemorations today, the singing of Durafle's Requiem, the praying of the necrology, the sharing at our remembrance altar, we announce our continuing connection with those we carry very close to our hearts. And in the wonder of the union between God's creation and God's heaven, we pronounce that God binds heaven and earth, the living and the dead, not by carnival crystal balls, but in the inner communion of the saints, and by the power of love's endurance. In the ESPN film, the 4 women first meet one another, sharing their stories of struggle and survival. And the next day, they meet the Rodriguez family, including Paco's now 17-month-old daughter, Jeanette. The documentary camera pans a room set something like a wedding reception with a punch bowl and hors d'oeuvres, boxing trophies, and pictures of Paco, all on long rectangular tables vested in white cloths. The Rodriguez family stands in a receiving line at the doorway, punctuated by Sonia standing at its end, balancing her young daughter on her hip. And they could be so many things: angry, indignant, jealous. Yet this family is gracious and genuine and warm. There's little narration as the four organ recipients enter the room and meet their benefactor's loved ones for the very first time. And as soon as Megan, the first through the door, appears, Sonia begins to cry, covering her mouth and drying her eyes as she can. The last to enter is Alexis, who received Paco's heart. Paco's mother, Maria, collapses into Alexis' arms before she kneels before this woman, this stranger with whom she now shares this great intimacy. Maria sets her hand on Alexis' chest and she repeats aloud, "Mi corazón, mi corazón, mi corazón." Gathered as the body of Christ, speaking the names of those we love draws them nearer to us, lifts us nearer to them, as whenever we pray with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Announcing this connection of heaven and earth in the Eucharist this morning, we join the unceasing prayers of those who have died before us and those faithful departed fill this holy space. Gallery to choir, fill this holy space. In the company of those saints in light, we might receive Paco Rodriguez and his family as models of stewardship, for surely they are, taking what they had been given and even in tragedy, sharing so generously for the sake of others. But realize that our call as stewards most resembles the four women who receive their gifts of life. For the gifts of life that we receive are no less grand. People of God, your life is this precious. As we commemorate All Souls with every rise of your chest, with every beat of blood, God, praise mi corazón, my heart, declaring every one of us as beloved and significant, as holy and good. So we take up pen and paper and we voice our gratitudes. We press our hands together and we pray, "Come on, Lord, let's get through this." And we dare ask ourselves, how do we thank God for a gift like this? It's not enough to say thank you. We've got to do more. And so we assemble as one church, stretching across time and place, from generation to generation, from here and forever. And we profess our faith, not only with our lips, but in our lives. A pledge of our inheritance in that kingdom where there is no crying, but only life everlasting. In the communion of all the saints.